Odd Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist, maybe some other things dropping on. And this is one of those days, though, where I just need space. We. Iron Man is back. Wow. I look up, and there's Jared Nielsen. Eric is in today, which is nice to see. Were you off Friday? Was it Friday that you were?
I was off, yes. I was off.
Was that a requested day off?
It was. I'm going to try to get off this weekend, too, if I can weasel my way into it, but I may have obligations that may conflict.
Obligations? What does that exactly mean?
Work obligations. Employment obligations.
Are you obligated to work? I don't know about that.
Yes. If I want to keep a mortgage and a car payment, yes, I am obligated to work.
All right. So, was that work last night for you watching Cavs?
No.
So yesterday was one of the great days in sports because I'm watching Dustin Johnson and these nincompoops. Okay. Is that a strong enough word? Do you want me to use stronger here? These guys that run the USGA. And I know if you're a diehard scratch golfer, you're going to disagree with me on it. Or if you just don't like Dustin Johnson. That caught my eye yesterday when Dustin Johnson is out there playing. Guys, if you're told in the second quarter, well, that wasn't a foul, keep playing. And then they come back to you in like the third quarter and say, well, you know what? We're thinking it might have been a foul. And then you have to, and you have five fouls already. You're not quite sure how you're going to play. Or it may have been a touchdown in the second quarter, but in the third quarter, we're not sure if it was a touchdown or not. Just think about it in any way in sports. If you watched yesterday the PGA Championships, and here's poor Dustin Johnson out there not knowing whether or not he's going to have a penalty stroke given to him. That was crazy. So yesterday afternoon, and my day actually started, I'll even go earlier than that. I watched Archie yesterday pitch for the Diamondbacks, and Archie was once again pretty good. He got in the sixth inning, he got in trouble. I get it. Philadelphia stinks. They're awful.
And the Diamondbacks have been feasting on bad teams, which is good. That's what you're supposed to do. But you're 12 games back. You need to beat some good teams, too.
Yeah, but you're only six out of the wild card with five teams in front of you.
Glass half
full. On June 20th. On June 20th. What? I'm in a good mood today. I can find positives. But yesterday it was Diamondbacks, then it was the U.S. Open, then it was the championship game last night. So let's start there. The game last night, so you could go back and say Golden State played with both arms stretched up towards their neck and both hands locked together and both around the neck and that they just... Now, you could say that. And it started with the Draymond Green groin punch in game five. Draymond Green does what Draymond Green does, and he ends up hurting his team. Draymond Green is able to play in game five. Don't they close it out? Rather than him being the guy that likes to take a swing or a kick, and it ends up hurting them. The Bogut injury. How much did the Bogut injury hurt in last night's game? Was it a case of where they're 4 or 6 points there out of Andrew Bogut in game six or game seven? And you could make the argument, yes. Yes, there is. There was. Steph Curry was not great last night, in my view. There were moments where he was great. I was at a space where we had a Father's Day get together at my house last night. It was a family we were really close with. And there was the four of them, and it was how many of my nitwits? It was three of my kids. So there was like, I don't know, eight or nine of us sitting in the living room. And I would say that three of us were pretty much diehard sports people. One of us sitting there is in the profession, me. One of them is a pastor, but he's a diehard sports guy. And my daughter, I would say, is really into sports. She could go into this industry if she wants to. And we're with every shot going, whoa, wow. I mean, weren't you guys in the same way? Eric, were you in the same way last night in the final like 2.5 minutes just out loud saying, oh?
I was just so into the game. Yesterday was such a great sports day,
wasn't
as you
it?
Said. And yesterday was good for sports. It's good when Dustin Johnson wins a major.
Yes.
It's good when Cleveland finally gets a championship.
Yeah.
It's good that all these people can finally get off LeBron James' back.
But they're not going to.
And I don't know why. I don't know why they're on it in the first place. But okay, it was redemption for LBJ, and as an LBJ lover, I am happy about that.
Okay, so we're gonna go into that here in about 10 minutes. I want to go further into that because I think that if we were to be honest with each other, well, I'll just get into that a little bit later in the show about LeBron James, because just because he won, I don't think he's out of the woods with a lot of people. Just me. This is a great week for Arizona sports, and here's why. We have U of A baseball, and if you're a Sun Devil fan, deal with it. Their baseball team's playing, yours isn't. Get over it, okay? I think this is great for our state. They have Oklahoma State today at 4 o'clock. I did not watch any of their game on Saturday. It doesn't mean I wasn't into them with Miami. It's just there's too much going on. So they beat Miami. They've won 6 in a row. What a great story. This was a team that was picked, like, what, 7th or 8th? And they're still playing at Omaha.
And remember, Brad, with the College World Series, much like March Madness, it's not always the best team. It's the team that's playing the best.
Yeah. Yes.
And right now, U of A baseball is definitely hot.
Hey, by the way, speaking of hot, where we're sitting here, Jake Lamb just hit a 2-run home run. I'm going to give you some Diamondbacks while the game is going on today. They're already up 3-0 on Philly against Hellickson. Hellickson drove me nuts when he was here last year. So good for them. So the Wildcats are playing today. The bigger story, and it's because I'm a soccer guy. When I see the social media space, the number one athlete in the world in social media is Ronaldo. Ronaldo's cleared over 200 million, not 2 million, 200 million social media people follow Ronaldo. Crazy, right? And the number two is Messi. So tomorrow night, the United States is going to be playing against Argentina in the Copa America. They're playing down in Houston. The match, it's, what are we at, the quarters? No, this is the semis, I'm sorry. So they end up going from there, the loser comes here. So we're going to have the match this coming Saturday. Follow me on this. This coming Saturday, we're either going to have Lionel Messi or the United States national soccer team here at University of Phoenix Stadium. I mean, that's one of the biggest accomplishments for us as a soccer community. And for those of you that get into negative soccer guy, you're 10 years too late. It's an old take. Deal with it. It's a sport that is the most popular worldwide, and it's growing. To have Messi here or the United States this weekend will be great. I don't know how the USA is going to stop Messi tomorrow night. I will be watching that tomorrow night without question. When I watch Messi, it's like watching Steph Curry dribble, except the guy's using his foot. Some of the goals that he has made in Copa have been fabulous, just fabulous. And Klinsmann, the coach for the USA, is into dream big. That's what he keeps talking about. Let's dream big. Let's be big. So we've got the United States and Argentina. That's tomorrow night. U of A baseball going on today as well. So we're in that space where you would say it's the dead of summer and there's nothing happening. No, there's a lot going on. We have the Suns and the draft on Thursday night. As I sit here right now with the number 4 pick and the number 13 pick in the draft, and based on what Cleveland did last night, it's important to go through that. Based on what Cleveland did last night, do you see any way, shape, or form that Cleveland is going to dismember their team? Remember the big Chad Ford trade rumor last week involving the Suns and the Knicks in a three-way that would send Eric Bledsoe off to Cleveland, that would bring Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love to Arizona, to the Suns. Do you see any way that Cleveland would dismember the team and take it apart now that they've won a championship? So as I'm watching that last night, that was part of my thought process is, well, you can go through the list now, and there's no way Cleveland's going to take that team and tear it apart. I can't imagine that would be the case. That doesn't mean that you can't find a guy or two off of that roster. I think that to say that Kevin Love had a good run in Cleveland this year, I would disagree with you on that. To say that Kyrie Irving and LeBron James got along from a distance, I don't know that to be the case. Certainly there was a lot that was swirling around the team. On the other side, though, I want to talk about LeBron James and whether or not the win last night really is going to impact his legacy. I do believe that there's some of you. I'm one of those that I'm leaning towards the side of great player, but please do not try to tell me that he is Magic Johnson or Michael Jordan. This isn't get off the lawn guy. I do think, too, Steph Curry was not treated as an MVP of the league. And while I'm sitting with my group last night, guy, it's a pastor, leans over to me and says, so do you think the NBA is rigged? Well, if the NBA is rigged, then the New York Knicks would be in the finals every year if the NBA were rigged. The Lakers would never stink. Were there some calls that were beyond questionable in the series? Absolutely. There's a lot more to get to on the NBA finals on the other side. We're going to talk about LeBron, and there's some stuff I didn't like last night about him. And even today, there's something that's happened today that I look at and say, come on, really? That's on the other side. Paula Bova News and Oats at the bottom of the hour, and much more as we continue on Monday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussman. Brad Sussman with you. The Westgate book in Vegas just came out with the futures of the NBA for the finals next year. Eric, would you guess Warriors or Cavaliers?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me that and not. What are the Suns' odds of winning the title next year?
Well, I'm going to get to that.
I would think the Warriors would be favored next year.
You are correct. So Vegas already today has come out with next year. Now, this does not include free agency, so they're not taking bets on Oklahoma City, it sounds like. You got to see what happens with OKC. But yeah, right now it is the Warriors 3-2, Cavaliers, Spurs, Thunder, Clippers, top five. I think the Clippers are declining myself. I think that ship has sailed, and that's one of those teams that needs to retool. Our hometown heroes, you ask, 100-1? Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, whatever, somewhere around there.
200-1, does that sound about right to you?
Nothing would surprise me.
300-1, your Phoenix Suns. Only Brooklyn, according to Vegas. Only Brooklyn. We got that on a. We're better than Brooklyn, according to Vegas. But that's it. Nobody else.
The Kings have a better chance of winning the NBA title than
the Suns? Nuggets, the Kings, the Knicks, the Horn. Everybody other than the. They have Brooklyn at 500-1. They have the Suns at 300-1.
Kentucky has a better chance of winning an NBA title than the Suns?
GCU has a better chance of winning a title. 300-1. Oh, how did we ever get here? The Westgate Superbook. We're 300. Man, that's rough. All right, let's get over to LeBron. Enough of that. So last night there was a play in the game, and I'm sure all of you remember it. It's late in the game. LeBron makes the unbelievable block shot. Okay, that's an iconic moment, the block shot. But then he goes to the other end of the floor, and he tries to ram one down, and he lands on his arm, and he's sprawled out on the floor, and it looked like somebody shot him with an arrow. And it's almost like a soccer play. And I don't know if I've just become jaded through the years of seeing the acting going on. I see the replay, and yeah, there's a little bit of a tweak, but not much. And he's laying there, and he's laying there, and he's laying there. And there's something about the NBA and guys trying to sell it. Like during the series, Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy, I thought Jeff Van Gundy was great because he called Varejao out on a flop. Like, that's not even close to being... Do you remember that play?
Yep, that game when he was driving the hoop. I don't remember. It was game five, I believe.
I think it was game five. I think you're right.
And, you know, he did his best soccer imitation. He went up and got clipped on the ear and went down, and it was like someone slit his throat or something.
Yeah, no, yeah. There should have been a pool of blood there and OJ on the scene and Marsha Clark and all that stuff. And instead, he gets back up and he plays. So LeBron last night... You know, I'm surprised they didn't have to amputate his arm after the game was over. And of course he gets up on stage and he holds a trophy up, and today he gets off the plane and he's the last one off the plane. There's something about the guys that want to have the attention. And there's no question that watching him and how he comports himself, he's a great player. I'm not bagging on him on this, okay? But there's a certain amount of look at me. And
but
wouldn't you
expect him to be the last one off the plane when they get back to Cleveland?
That's where I have a problem. The plane landed, and of course, he was the last one off with the trophy.
But shouldn't he be the last one off?
No. No. We're going to argue about who should get off the plane last?
I don't know. I disagree with this.
The last one off the plane should be Tristan Thompson. He's the biggest guy. Or Mozgov. The largest guys are in the back of the plane.
I think you're nitpicking.
I think that there's
just
this...
I think you should leave LeBron alone. Let him have his moment.
There's this scripted thing about him. Did you notice how the NBA last night, poor Adam Silver, they bring Bill Russell up. And again, I'm sitting with my pastor friend. He's like, oh, that's Bill Russell. What's he doing up there? I said, oh, he's there to present the championship trophy. Problem is, I think Adam just blanked out. And poor Bill Russell, at one point we just saw him kind of like, I think I'm out of here. So I don't know if he wanted to photobomb the opportunity last night, but clearly something didn't go right. When I'm sitting with this group and the audio keeps dropping out, and they're like, why does the audio keep dropping out? Because they're on a delay and they're dropping F-bombs all over the place.
And they should just let those go.
I agree with you. Aren't we, as a society, okay, and there's going to be some of you that will get all wound up, but as a society, can't we, if we hear somebody in the heat of celebration saying, F yeah, oh, I can't believe they're saying that. It's sports. It's emotion. Oh, they're such a main. I thought he was a Christian. I thought he was this. I thought, come on. Are you hearing yourself? They just went through an 100 game season if you count preseason, 120 games if you count postseason, and they just won it all. Do you want them to just say, praise be, and that's it?
And if you have kids, and if your kids have access to a smartphone or an iPad or any sort of internet capability, they're going to find that profanity a lot easier than they're going to find it
watching
sports.
No, they're not. They're going to find it on the playground at their school.
Anywhere. It's everywhere.
I've had four of these little rugrats. Yeah. Okay? They're going to find it anywhere. So if you're like, we're just going to put you in a bubble. It's sports. There's stuff that happens during a sporting event. When I hear people get wound up over language, okay, it's one thing if somebody's sitting here and it just rolls off the tongue. And there's been a couple of those guys. They just can't help themselves.
And if you're watching Spike or Comedy Central on the weekends, they really push the envelope with profanity. So it's not as though everything is completely censored, because that's not the way it is on over-the-air television.
You and I can sit here and I can drop F-bombs all day long if I want to. And do I do that when we're just talking?
Never.
No. But if I'm out there playing and something happens, okay, and I pound my fist because something happened and I let something fly, that's not in my personality, but it happens. I'm not going to. So last night when there's all these beeps going on, that's the human emotion. I get it. ABC's owned by Disney. Oh my gosh, can you believe what slipped out of their tongues last night? We're going to apologize for that. There's a part of our country that hearing me on this rant right now would vehemently disagree. I'm the problem with our country right now. It's people like SesMat that we have Hillary and Trump that are sitting out there. I'm not even going to go down that path. You know, our country's just gone to hell in a handbag. Did you hear them drop an F-bomb? I don't know. There's bigger problems than somebody using some salty language. Is that the tip of the iceberg that's a problem in our country? So last night, while all this is going on, and the train wreck that's at Adam Silver up there versus David Stern, come on. Somebody sent Adam to camp. And just like, here's how we're going to do this. You need to smile. You need to relax. By the way, when we have Bill Russell there next to you and we've told Bill we want to have you there for the championship trophy.
Did he get booed, by the way? Did Silver get booed?
Oh, of course he did.
Okay.
Of course he did.
Keeping up in the tradition of all sports fans booing all professional sports.
Well, but he didn't get booed like Goodell.
Yeah.
He didn't get booed. Because, you know.
Or Bettman,
yeah. Has Adam Silver done great things for the NBA? He's kind of inherited and put it on cruise control. I think his ideas on betting are forward-thinking, very forward-thinking. It's very Euro. You know, the sport needs to be worldwide. But I'm watching LeBron, back on him, and he's the typical guy that's never fouled anybody. I don't like that. There are times you get fouled. There's times you foul. Do I think that the referees have a special set of rules for their star players? Some of them, it's pretty clear Steph Curry doesn't go by the same set of rules, because Steph Curry had some pretty cheap fouls called on. If you're a Warriors fan today, if you're Steve Kerr today, you're pissed. If you're Steve Curry, you're not, or Steph Curry, you're not happy. There were a couple of those fouls last night that were touch fouls. It's game seven. And he's having and some of those were fouls on his part.
But the Warriors have no one to blame but themselves.
No, they don't. But I mean,
you're up 3-1.
Draymond Green.
You've got two or three games at home.
Yep.
And you blow it. And they did blow it. I just knew, Brad, when the game, I knew by halftime if the Cavs were going to win. Because if they could just keep it close, when the second half starts, all the pressure slides on to Golden State.
Yeah. No, that's
and it
true.
Slides off of Cleveland.
Well, and Kyrie and LeBron didn't do much in the first half. Like, I liked how unselfish LeBron was. There's something about him, and it doesn't go back to the decision. I look at Magic Johnson, I look at Michael Jordan, I look at LeBron James, I look at all three players, and if it's me, I take Magic Johnson. If I'm gonna take those three players in their prime, I'm gonna take Magic Johnson over LeBron James. There's something about the way that he comports himself in the heat of battle on fouls being called on him or his teammates. He's got to go argue, and that's just maybe it's just the whole NBA. Every call's got to be a bitch session. Every last call. Rather than just walk away and put your hand up in the air. Now, on a positive note, it's pretty cool seeing Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye, two kids from here in the Valley. And I call them kids because I remember them when they were in high school. And Channing Frye was not a great, dominant high school basketball player. He wasn't a bad player. He was a good player. But at St. Mary's, he kind of grew and grew. Richard Jefferson was really good.
He retired, reportedly, last night. Richard Jefferson said, I'm going to win a title and I'm going to retire. Good for him.
And he could still play. He was productive in that series.
Yep.
He did some good things in that series.
Great on the boards.
Yeah, but I think in the summation of this, LeBron getting off the plane last, I'm not trying to get the last word on this, he could have been the first guy with the trophy and walked off the plane, fine. If he was in the middle of the pack and it was Ty Lue, who's bawling like a baby carrying off the trophy, who came out of nowhere this year, what a great story that is. There's just a little bit of, I have to be the one. Like Jordan crying versus LeBron crying, we're going to see that for the next years. I'm going to be sick of that. Where I'd rather just see Magic and the way Magic handled it. I'm not a Laker guy. It's just the way he handled his victory. If I had to choose a roster, would I want Golden State's roster? Would I want the Cavaliers? There's going to be all sorts of stuff to kick around. But I do think that there's going to be those that still have a problem with LeBron. You can find ways to poke holes. I'm not poking holes. It's just there's a little bit there. It's like, dude, let some other people do it. Kyrie Irving doesn't hit that three. You're not even, I don't know if you're having this discussion today. Sports360AZ.com. Paula Bovin, my friend, AZ Central columnist, is next.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmak.
Always good to catch up with Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. When we last left Paula, she was on vacation. So you probably don't have anything today, right?
I probably, what, Brad, did you say?
You don't have anything in you today, right? If you were on
vacation. No, not a bit.
You're just going to come in there and say, yeah, whatever, Sess Matt, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's start then in all seriousness. What is in your wheelhouse today?
Well, I mean, I know the topic's been talked about to death, but the game last night, Game 7, it reminded me why, it sounds so cheesy, why I love sports so much. To see someone and players expend the effort that they did and the emotions afterward and the sort of humility and interviews afterward and how it impacted a city. I loved all those shots of Cleveland. I really, really, really enjoyed that game, how it ended and what kind of followed after it. So that's been what I've been thinking about this morning.
Okay. You know that the futures book came out on the Cavaliers today, and they are not, according to Vegas, the favorite to win next year. Do you have a problem with this? Golden State is.
You know, to me, that is just such a coin flip of a pick. And I wish people were talking a little bit more about Kyrie today, and I understand why LeBron was such the focus in the post game. And I know people are talking him a little, but the effort of the game he played, and that speaks to what you're talking about, Brad, is You know, I might put them as a favorite. When you got that guy, that talented, that young, doing what he's doing, it's pretty exciting to me. But then, you know, when you have as many victories as Golden State had during the course of a season, it's hard to ignore that, too. So I'm sorry I'm being wishy-washy, but I wouldn't put many money on either of those teams because I think it's just a coin flip.
Okay, just so you know, the Suns came in at 300-1 from Vegas.
Oh, dear.
They came in, only the Brooklyn Nets were given less of a chance next year. 500-1 for Brooklyn. Our hometown heroes, 300-1, next to last.
Wow. And, you know what that speaks of? Not only what they've accomplished or not accomplished, but that sounds to me like an absolute lack of faith in this upcoming draft, because in how they will handle this upcoming draft. Because to me, they can move themselves not to a top team, but out of that next to last spot. So that really surprises me that it's that bad.
Yeah, it's no respect given, and nor should there be. You've got to earn it.
No, you've got to earn it. You're right, Bray, but I'm surprised it's that bad.
Talking with Paula Bovin, so when this Chad Ford big trade rumor came out involving the Cavaliers and the Knicks, and there were people that said around the league, well, this couldn't happen. There was some, it could happen. Now that the Cavaliers have won, you're not going to trade Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. That said, it wouldn't surprise me if LeBron James opted out. It wouldn't surprise me because he has the ability to do it. He's already won a title in Cleveland. I'm sure he could put some narrative together that says, look, I need to go take my talents to Los Angeles to work on my post-NBA career. He wouldn't say it like that. But nothing would surprise me in terms of Cleveland and LeBron being divorced again. Or Cleveland saying, no, now let's take a step back. Does Kevin Love really fit here? I don't see this as a dynasty in the making. Do you?
Oh, you know, not a dynasty. I think dynasties are hard in this current health of the NBA or whatever. But I can't see LeBron leaving. I don't agree with you at all on that one. To me, he doesn't feel like a guy who, you know, wants to play in Los Angeles.
Has a house out there.
Yeah, but I don't think it's enough to drive him to play there. Maybe he'll surprise me, but good Lord, he did it in Miami. He did it in Cleveland. Would he make a career move just for his post-career opportunities? I don't know. I don't think so. I think those opportunities, if he wants them, will come either way. So I don't think I'd see him move at all.
Okay, so the angle of Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye, here's two Valley kids that end up winning. And I did not know this. Eric pointed out to me. I guess Richard said after last night's game that he's done. He's
right,
retired.
Right.
So do you remember them as players? I thought Channing was a decent high school player, and then he really blossomed when he came. I shouldn't say decent. He was better than that, but he wasn't at the top. Richard Jefferson, you could see him at Moon Valley coming into his own. Do you remember them here in that whole angle?
I remember Channing a lot. I didn't see much of Richard in high school, but I saw a lot of Channing in high school. And I agree. He always, you know, he was obviously really talented. But there was a lot of speculation, I think even at Arizona, of how long his NBA career would be. I think people were questioning it because there are flaws to his game. He doesn't really classically fit if you stick him in one position, this is what we need. But talk about a guy who worked at enduring in the NBA and finding a valuable role and perfecting his outside shot and all those other things that made him worthy of teams wanting him. I think there were so many people who didn't see that in him and didn't see that coming. And I just think that's a credit to his work ethic. And, you know, both those guys kind of speaks to that U of A factory. And, Olsen did a good job of helping guys prepare for their post-collegiate careers.
Yeah. And their general manager, David Griffin, you and I know well. And, you know, David Griffin.
I still laugh when I see him in, like, on that stage, because we just both know Griff as a sort of almost like a little son's intern guy. And it's been great to see his rise, and he's a great guy, but it always cracks me up.
It's hey, Griff, I need a parking pass. No problem, Brad.
Exactly.
Hey, Brad, there's going to be a media availability today at 1:30 if you want to get down here. And then you see him up on stage. I mean, it's truly a remarkable story for him, and another good Arizona angle around them winning a championship.
I think he's a great story for people who aspire to those kind of jobs, and yep. he did not take the traditional route. I mean, you know, we see guys that are hired that are a lot of former players, that were accomplished agents, all kinds of other things. This was all about starting from the bottom, working your way up, working hard, and, yeah, frankly, aligning yourselves with the right people. But that's part of, I think, being successful in business and working hard at it. So I think that's just been a great story, and I think that he should be. I mean, talk about an inspiring role model for mm-hmm. people who maybe aren't going the traditional path in the NBA and to see what he's accomplished.
Talking with Paula Bovin. So let me throw this one by you today. There's a lot of debate about the greatest with LeBron and Michael and Magic. And you and I were both in L.A., so I look at it and say, if I had to choose one of the three, I would go with Magic, just because maybe I saw him every day and saw how many different positions. I would take Michael second. I would take LeBron third. I'm not as enamored with LeBron as everybody else, because I think Magic could do a lot more than LeBron could do. And I'm not nitpicking at him. It's just, that's my guy from my view. How about you? One of those three, which one do you take?
I take LeBron.
Get out of here. Are you serious? You take him over Magic? Are you nuts?
I was always a Michael guy. I'm not necessarily with you on Magic. I thought Magic was terrific, but I thought, you know, the way Michael could take over a game. I think if LeBron isn't there, if he's not number one, he's even with Jordan. Because I just think his ability to turn it on, and he's had to learn things. He's had to learn things about being selfish and all these other things. But just watching him this postseason and his ability to turn it on and win games, and I'm telling you, he's right there with Michael for me.
But not Magic.
Well, I mean, I thought Magic, he could do a lot of things, but I don't know if he had that inner thing, that mojo, that whatever it is that LeBron and Michael have. And maybe that's just me, not even though I saw him a lot in L.A., I just never felt the same way about him as I do with the other two.
Fair enough. This week, I think, is a huge week. I know soccer is not something that you look at day in and day out, nor do I. But I do pay
that
enough attention
correct,
to it that if we have Messi or the United States, we're going to have one or the other. We're either going to have Messi or the United States national team playing at University of Phoenix on Saturday. Now, I'm all about having worldwide stage here. Messi, outside of Ronaldo, is the biggest name by a long ways over the NFL. Over the NFL, worldwide soccer has a much bigger reach. And so this was a big week for us out at University of Phoenix Stadium. I know you're going to be up in Pine Top, as am I. But are you going to pay attention to this at all?
I will. And, you know, as you mentioned, maybe not with the fervor a lot of other people do. But at this is a point I start sort of getting interested in soccer, when it's either some names I know, when it's near, you know, when they're playing for a championship, when it's the Olympics, things like that. That has my attention. But you know, the reality is, like with the U.S. men this year, I mean, not even qualifying for the Olympics. So I just kind of tuned out of that team mm-hmm. until recently.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
fair.
The other thing is, this sort of weird measuring stick I have is how people respond to our soccer coverage in the paper, even for big events. They don't respond well. They love, you know, they get great amount of fans for these games, for the big games, but it doesn't translate as far as to people reading about it and things like that. So that's really an interesting dynamic to me.
That's fair. It's fair. You are going to be a Pine Top.
So I am. I'm looking forward to it.
This is for Arizona. So the U of A fans are going to be all wound up saying, oh, she's just an ASU honk, which you're not. You're fair.
Right.
They'll say you should be at Omaha for the College World Series. I disagree with that. I think that's a good story, but much to your belief on the soccer thing, probably doesn't resonate well in terms of print.
Sure.
What are you looking to do in Pine Top?
You know, I'm really, and I think I put some of this out on social media, I kind of want to get a pulse of the program, because I know that there are a lot of alums that go up there, former players that are up there. There are some fans that are up there. There are coaches like Bobby Hurley that will be up there. And I kind of want to get a feel of the program, particularly of the football program, and what the voices are saying, because I think it's a pretty interesting year for Todd Graham. And I know that Todd can't make it because he has a conflict, but and I'll be interested to pick some brains of some of the former players there, because I think, you know, he sounds like they've done a really nice job in recruiting, but the way the season ended last year, I know fans are disappointed. They're losing a lot of players, so that's my main intent, is just trying to understand where, you know, what people are saying, people that are important are saying about the program.
So just for full disclosure, I am emceeing events Friday and Saturday, and I was actually asked on a conference call, do I want to bring Paula up on stage? And I said, no, that's not Paula's deal. I might walk over there with a microphone and embarrass the heck out of you. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to seeing you and yours up there over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited, and thank you for sort of helping remind me about that event, because I've wanted actually to go for it for years, and I know that they have a really strong following of fans up there, so it should be a lot of fun.
See you there. So thanks for the time.
All right, Brad.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. She joins us every week. A weekend up in Pine Top doing that event. We go every year to that one. I was actually talking with some U of A football people Friday, Eric? All the stuff came out about Saguaro. So if you missed it on Friday, three kids from Saguaro High School committed to Arizona State all at the same time. That's something that we don't see that. And so, of course, the U of A side of the street has a different feel about the three players, which is fine. It's fine.
And both schools have been doing well. So it's not like,
yes,
you know,
they have.
U of A's gotten some very good recruits recently, too. So
in-state.
Yes.
So I would say, you know, the kicker who's going to Brandon Ruiz, you've done that story. Or is that Jared?
That was Jared or Jordan.
Or Jordan.
But, yeah, I've seen Brandon. I've talked to him a couple times.
So he's going to Alabama, and that's big news.
And his backstory on that is incredible, how Alabama found him.
U of A was the first to offer him, mm-hmm. from what I had heard. And
Nick Saban saw his little Vine video of him hitting a 74-yard field goal and said, oh, who's this kid?
Yeah.
And that's how the whole thing started. Believe it or not, social media. When you use it correctly.
Are you saying I don't need to go pay $50 a month to some recruiting service so my son can be – are you saying that?
To each their own, but no, there are ways, creative ways where you can get noticed.
Look, there are recruiting sites that I think are of value. But by and large, I think the recruiting site industry charging stuff is a racket. It is, especially in this day and age where you could do most of it right here. Not to say that there aren't some people that need help. You know, I'm not going to go that far with it. On the other side, there was a nice moment in last night's game that Eric saw, and I want to bring some video on that front from around the Cavaliers winning. And a few other things on my mind, too. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. .300 to 1. Can't get through that. Like, that showed up, and it's just, how did we ever get to a point? Have we ever had a team, even some of the worst Cardinal teams, I don't think they were ever next to last in terms of preseason.
And to reset, you're talking about the Suns' odds of winning the NBA title next season.
Vegas came out with the odds this morning, and the Suns are next to last at 300 to 1. I can't believe the free fall that we're in here. Now, will that change next week? Well, it'll be interesting is, we should do this next week. We should have Vaccaro on next week, Eric. Once they're done, well, actually in a couple weeks, because they'll go through free agency. Like 2 weeks from now, if they're still 300 to one, you would think just the simple addition of a fourth overall pick in the draft, they'd move to 250 to one.
But I guess we shouldn't be surprised, because the Suns haven't made the playoffs since 2010, 11?
I wrote a
correct?
Column about that. It was May 29th, 2010 was their last playoff game. Like before we even started this company.
It's a long time.
You weren't even married.
Nope.
Cole was 6, my youngest. Like, come on. There was a moment in last night's game afterwards that was sweet. Eric told me about it. J.R. Smith... I wouldn't say had a terrific playoff series, but he's a championship player today. This was last night.
Monis Khan, ESPN. J.R. Smith, today is Father's Day. I remember listening to an interview with you talking about working at your father's construction job and knowing that that's not what you want to do with your life. Can you just talk about the role that he's played in your life and what it means to you to be able to share this moment with him?
I mean, my parents, my family, that's the biggest inspiration of my life. I've been in a lot of dark spots in my life, and if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be able to get out of it. But they are who they are. They fought with me. They yelled at me. They screamed at me. They loved me. They hugged me. They cried with me. And they always stuck by my side, no matter right or wrong. And I know a lot of people don't have their parents in their life, their mother or their father, but I got the best two you can ask for, I swear. There's six of us, and they didn't treat any of us different. They loved us the same. They treated us all the same, and I just want to be like them when I grow up. I mean, my dad is my... easily one of my biggest inspirations to play this game. And to hear people talk bad about me, it hurts me because I know it hurts him. And that's not who I am. And I know he raised better, and I know I want to do better. And just everything I do is for my parents and my family. I mean, I don't really... the cars is nice, the houses is nice, but none of this matters without them. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I would be. Honestly, if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for the structure and the backbone that I have, I wouldn't be able to mess up and keep coming back and being able to sit in front of you as a world champion.
It's good. It's really good. I haven't seen that, so that's the first time.
Sometimes sports breaks,
well, it just kind of realigns itself.
Breaks down the walls.
Yeah, yeah.
And we see these superhero, bigger than life people in their most
vulnerable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Their most honest.
Yeah. No, that's true. I think, look, J.R. Smith, when he said there, I don't always do the right things. And when people talk bad about me, if you were to go Google J.R. Smith, you'd see a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You'd see a whole bunch of stuff. And here's his dad.
But to show the humility on,
sure,
this wasn't he and his dad back outside the locker room by themselves. This was at a press conference where millions upon millions of people were
worldwide
watching.
Media. Yeah.
And he made a very private moment, very public.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's really refreshing.
No, it's
I mean,
cool.
Yesterday was just a great, whoever you wanted to win, Golden State or the Cavs, yesterday as a whole was a good day for sports. Dustin Johnson, things like this. If you love or hate LeBron, LeBron doing what he did, elevating the city, the state,
yeah,
Cleveland, Ohio. It's just sometimes sports aren't all that bad.
They're never that bad. We sit here and we can do shows every day and find that. Like, if I sat here today and just nitpicked apart LeBron's game, that's crazy. Just because I like Magic Johnson as a player all the way around doesn't mean I'm nitpicking. You know, it doesn't mean I'm bashing on this guy and saying he's terrible. I think sometimes guys like J.R. Smith, you just end up seeing them and having this perception of how they are in one way, and then you see them in another, and it brings you back to the humanization of it. Because you're right, they are larger than life guys. They're put up there on pedestals by people like us. Same time, you like to call out and keep guys in check. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, I mean, him referencing the big houses and the nice cars and,
yeah,
you know, it's different. You don't see that a lot from guys like J.R. Smith. So
no, it was good. This is a good week ahead. I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. Because the Diamondbacks are playing right now and they're beating up on Philadelphia again. Is there anything on tonight?
I don't know, huh?
I watched OJ the other night. I watched the end of the OJ thing.
I'm two episodes behind, so...
The one that they did on OJ afterwards when he goes to Vegas...
No spoilers, please.
Oh,
no.
My gosh.
No spoilers, please.
The boat sinks at the end. It's crazy.
Yeah, I figured
it's crazy.
Much.
It's just nuts.
This is our cue to run music.
Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's lots of content up on our website. Caitlin Slater, part of our crew this summer, our intern, said, I want to go do a piece. And I said, well, go do it. Who do you want to do? I said, I want to sit down with Jody Jackson. She does terrific piece. So we said, well, let's put it up there. People like it. It's cool. There's stuff around the high school, college, pro college, high school makes no difference to us. Things that we see in Arizona, a little bit different. And that's what we're all about. Thanks for being with us.